Please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1280. That's 1280. We'll be reading the first four verses of the chapter. We'll read the verses responsively. The text verse being the third verse. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of the wonderful Word of God? Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's pray. And Father, we realize from this that you've chosen us to be more than just saved. You've chosen us to be soldiers. And we pray that you'd bless now and help us tonight in the service. We pray that you'd help that our attention might be that which it ought to be. Circumstances can be such as would detract us from the kind of attention that we ought to give thy word and the man of God. But help us on purpose to listen. And truly bless our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to read for you without your turning to it a little bit of what we read a while ago. I want to give you a little bit of background. The apostle is writing to young Timothy, and he's saying to young Timothy, now he's saying, somebody handed to me the body of the faith or truth. Now he said, I'm handing it to you. Now he said, you preserve it. In our day, we'd say, you preserve the King James Bible. In our day, we'd say, preserve the plan of salvation. In our day, we'd say, reserve the New Testament, local New Testament Baptist Church. Now, what Timothy was telling, was being told by Paul was this. Now, Timothy, I've given you something. I've given you the body of faith. I've given you the truth. Now, you're custodian of it. Now, you give it to the next generation. I want you to notice this. That's what he said. Paul didn't say to Timothy, I want you to go to jail. He said, I want you to stand for the truth. Now, going to jail is a part of that. You go to jail. But he said, I don't want you to be persecuted. I'm not commanding you to be persecuted. I'm commanding you to fight for the truth, preserve the truth, defend the truth. If that causes persecution, I want you to, as Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The title of my message tonight is Enjoy the Blessing, Endure the Hardness. Enjoy the blessing, endure the hardness. Our Heavenly Father, bless me tonight as I speak. I pray you to help me, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul is writing to a young man who had not yet faced hardships. Well, how many times I've said this? Your hardships are on the way. You may not have faced them yet, but they're on the way. So Paul is writing to a young man that his life had not been complicated yet, a man who had not faced the firing squad, as it were, spiritually or in reality. And he's saying to him, now, Timothy, you're a soldier. Now, your job is to protect the truth. Protect the things that have been handed down to me. Apostle Paul said there's some that saw the Savior. They handed things down to me. I'm handing things down to you. And you hand them to others so they can hand them down to even the next generation. So each generation of believers becomes a custodian of the truth to fight for it, stand for it, and extend it. I don't mean by adding to it, but I mean spread it. And hand it to the next generation. Now, that's what I've been doing for half a century. I've been fighting for this book right here. I've been fighting for the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been fighting for the old-time religion. I've been fighting for the New Testament independent, the New Testament indigenous Baptist church. I've been fighting for the fundamentals of the faith, and I've been handing them down to young men. And you guys, don't you leave here and change what you've heard here. Don't you do it.
You are being commanded to be custodians of the very same thing that was handed down to me by those that preceded me, and I'm handing down to you that you may be custodians of it, someday handing it down to the generation that follows you. So Paul is writing this young man, Timothy, who had not yet faced hardship. And he says, endure hardship. Now that word hardship means difficulty. And the word endure is a very interesting word. The word endure here is not the one that's used normally for the English word endure in the Bible. The word means share the blessing and share the hardship. When it says endure hardship, he's saying you take your share of the troubles. You endure your share of the problems. You have a certain share given to you, and you endure them. Now, there are three things the Apostle Paul said, and I want you to follow me carefully. Number one, he said this, and I've already implied it. He said, accept your share of hardship. It tells us that each of us has an allotment of blessings and hardship. Now, listen carefully. I think that each of us has an equal amount of blessings and hardship. If you have many blessings, I think you have many hardships. I think that everybody in this room has an equal amount of positive and minus. For example, if God has blessed you with several children, God has blessed you with a lot more problems. If God has blessed you with no children, congratulations. You have no problems at all. Mrs. Howes and I have decided that in the next life, if there's reincarnation, we're going to get married. But we're not going to have any kids. Somebody said insanity is inherited from your children. And of course, in the case of Cindy, our precious loving daughter, I'm not talking about her. She's never brought us a bit of hardship until she chose her husband, and that's caused all the trouble. But I have a feeling, and I believe the Bible teaches this, and I could go into it, but I won't, that those that have few hardships have fewer blessings. Oh, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. That means you have a lot of tears, you have a lot of joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing. He that bears more seed will have more rejoicing. But likewise, you sow in tears, and you go and weepeth, bearing precious seed. So nobody has a right to complain. You say, well, I have more troubles than anybody else, then you have more blessings than anybody else. Because our positives and our negatives are equal. So the Apostle Paul is writing young Timothy saying, enjoy your blessings and endure your hardships. So when the hardships are passed out, make peace with them. Everybody has a half full cup and a half empty cup. So what Paul is saying is, enjoy the half that's full and endure the half that and accept and make peace with the half that is empty. Now, I'm passing by that to the second point. And don't think, I only have 3 points, but don't put your shoes on, ladies, because the last 2 points are a little longer. Point number two, he's saying, do not choose hardship. Listen to this. Do not choose hardship, but accept the right way, even though it involves hardship. What he's saying is this. He's saying, you defend this book I've handed down to you. Now, don't decide you're going to go through trial, but defend the book. And defending the book puts you through trial, then go, then endure it. Take it. He said, defend and preserve the gospel. I'm not talking about a gospel of works. I'm not talking about a gospel of baptism. I'm not talking about a gospel of communion. I'm not talking about a gospel of a priest absolving your sins. I'm talking about the only gospel, and that's the gospel of grace through faith in the finished work of our Savior. I'm talking about that gospel. Now, Paul said to Timothy, you defend that gospel. Now, he said, I'm not saying you get in trouble, but he's defending that gospel gets you in trouble. What he's saying is this, never pick a fight, but if the will of God causes you to be attacked, don't run. Take it. Throw your shoulders back and take it like a man, your share of the hardships. Daniel didn't choose to go in the lion's den. Daniel just chose to keep on praying toward Jerusalem. Now, praying with his window open towards Jerusalem gets him applause and accolades. That's good. If it gets him a lion's den, that's good too. What Paul is saying is, you do God's will. If folks clap, do God's will. If folks jeer, do God's will. If you're applauded, do God's will. If you're cursed, do God's will. If you're popular, do God's will. If you're unpopular, do God's will. He's saying, do the will of God as a soldier. And if that causes you to get some hardships, endure those hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Hebrew children didn't choose to go to the fire furnace. They chose to not bow down and worship that golden image made by the Southern Baptists over on Plains of Dura. They said, the king said, bow down, worship this golden image, and they said, we're not going to do it. These are three Hiles Anderson graduates named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they said, we're not going to do it. And the king said, okay, we'll throw you in the fire furnace. And they said, throw away, your highness, we're not going to bow down and worship that golden image. We're going to do what's right. Let me tell you something, folks. Do what's right if folks clap. Do what's right if folks curse you. Do what's right if you're applauded. Do what's right if you're cursed. I'm simply saying, don't decide to go to the fire furnace. Just decide you're not going to bow down and worship that golden image. That's all. Paul didn't decide to go to jail. Paul just decided to preach the gospel. If preaching the gospel gives him a doctor's degree at the University of Jerusalem, then Paul preaches the gospel. If preaching the gospel puts him in jail in Philippi, Paul preaches the gospel. If preaching the gospel gets him an honorary doctorate, that's good. If preaching the gospel gets him ostracized and hated and beaten, that's good. I'm trying to say what America needs is not a bunch of Christians looking for trouble, but a bunch of Christians looking for God's will. And if God's will gets you in trouble, then take it like a man. That's what the Bible says. Timothy, you're a soldier. Fight the truth. Defend the truth. When the victories come, enjoy them. When the defeats come, take it. Endure it. Don't whine. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Cancel your self-pity party and take it in the line of duty. Let me put it a little clearer. He's saying, don't be a draft dodger like Bill Clinton was. Every time I see a picture in the paper of Bill Clinton reviewing some troops, I want to throw up on him. I mean that. He hadn't got the right to be the commander-in-chief of the United States Armed Forces. He's a dirty, yellow-bellied, yellow-spined coward. That's what he is. While that man right there was giving himself and suffering hell in Vietnam, right? In Vietnam War. Suffering hell. And that man's been through so much stuff, he doesn't even like to talk about it. While that man was defending his country and fighting what he thought was right in Vietnam, the President of the United States, the commanding officer of the Armed Forces of the United States, was a yellow-bellied coward. God is saying, by the way, don't you say amen too hard if you're AWOL from the battle for Jesus. We got a lot of spiritual Bill Clintons here tonight. There's a battle raging. You want to join the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts. There's a battle going on. Don't you spiritual Bill Clintons criticize our president tonight. Paul is saying, Timothy, there's a war going on. A war for that book. A war for that Savior. A war for Calvary. A war for the blood of Christ. A war for the old time religion. He said, you get out and you spread that truth and you defend that truth. And he said, if a battle comes, endure the hardness like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Illustration. I chose to be a paratrooper. Now, I wanted the wings. I wanted to prove myself to folks back home that I was a real man. I wanted the blessings of being a paratrooper. I wanted that patch on my shoulder. I wanted those wings on my chest. I wanted those shiny boots on my feet. I wanted that parachute on my cap. I knew, however, that in training for the paratroopers, I'd have to run 10 miles every day with combat boots on. I knew that in training for the paratroopers, I would have to do 90 push-ups with a full field pack on my back. You've heard me say, I can't do 9 now. I've got a full field pack on my front. Now, I didn't join up to do 90 push-ups with a full field pack on my back. I joined up to be a paratrooper. Now, being a paratrooper means if I've got to do 90 push-ups with a with this big pack on my back, that means I'll just do the 90 push-ups with 90 pounds on my back. I knew that being a paratrooper, I'd have to do with one arm 25 push-ups with one arm. I knew that. Now, I didn't volunteer to do 25 push-ups. I volunteered to be a paratrooper. And if in the line of duty I've got 25 push-ups with one hand, I'll do 25 push-ups with one hand. I didn't volunteer to do all the calisthenics. You would not believe the way they treated us back yonder in World War II. Every time we got in trouble, we didn't sue anybody. If I'd have sued my sergeant, he'd have made hamburger meat out of me before night. All those guys were in the paratroop training. They had officers that also would, who were already in other branches of service, who wanted to get their paratroop wings. These officers had to come and be under sergeants during the weeks of training for paratrooper. And these sergeants, who are not officers, they're non-commissioned, they love to get these big officers under them and get back at them. That's one reason why I like to get at Colonel McCormick. Sergeant Hiles likes to get him back. But these sergeants would be over these officers that come back for paratroop training. When I was in training, we had a colonel. Big guy, 6'4", big guy. Colonel. And these sergeants made it rough on this colonel. And one day the sergeant said something to the colonel. He said, give me 10 push-ups. And the colonel said, call me sir. He said, give me 25 push-ups, sir. The colonel got mad, and we did push-ups in a sawdust place. And the colonel spit in the sawdust. And the sergeant said, get that spittle out of that sawdust. And the sergeant made the colonel reach down with his teeth and dig the spittle out of the sawdust. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And he made him dig that spittle out of the sawdust, and with the sawdust and spittle both in his mouth, he made him put his hands up like that and run around the exercise pit saying, I've been a bad colonel, I've been a bad colonel, I've been a bad colonel, I've been a bad colonel. Now, I knew the paratroop training was rough. I did not get in the paratroopers to do 25 with one hand or 90 push-ups with a full field pack on my back with two hands or run 10 miles a day. I did not get in the paratroopers because I wanted to stand in the door of an airplane and jump out with nothing but a skirt on my back. I did not want to do that. But I wanted those wings. And I want the crown of life when I get to heaven. And I want the well done, the good and faithful servant when I get to heaven. Now, I don't want to suffer, but bless God, if suffering gets in my way while I'm doing God's will, I'll endure hardness. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Take it. Rouse then, soldier. Rally round the battle. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout out, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty. Now, so Paul is saying to Timothy, when you choose to be a soldier, endure the hardness. Okay, so you want a degree. You want to walk across this platform, some of you students, and you want your name called. You want to reach out and get that degree. But you don't want any tough times while you're earning it. You got the idea. Going away to college is just like the rich people send their kids to college. Now you listen to me, and you listen well. You're going to have some blessings on your way to that degree. But you likewise are going to have some hardship. And Paul is saying, on the way to getting your degree, take the hardship. Charles and I were talking the other day to a former student of Howells Anderson College. And I said, what year did you graduate? He said, I didn't graduate. I was only there 2 months. If I'd been bigger than he was, I'd have punched him out. And younger than he was. We got a bunch of people all over this country couldn't take it. Oh, you want the degree. You want your name called and walk here with a cap and gown on and get that degree. If you're going to get it, I've got some news for you. You've got some hardship to endure, and Paul says, take it. So you want to marry. Some of you fellas, you want the blessings of marital bliss and also the advantages of being single. So you got married, sell your motorcycle. Quit running around with the guys, the old single crowd. If you want to enjoy the blessings of marriage, then you're going to have to... You're going to have to face the hardships of marriage. And by the way, there's some hardships of marriage. I haven't had them yet, but if we stay married long enough, I bet you we have some. What you want is you want the joy of being married without the responsibilities. Now that means, young men, if you're going to get married, you support that gal. If you're going to get married, you be faithful to that gal, you love that gal, and you take your responsibilities of being married, and don't be some little sissy that makes your wife take care of everything. God, give us men in our homes again. Endure hardness. Enjoy the blessings and endure the hardships. So you want a child. And here's, you think, boy, I'd love to have one of those cute little dolls. You won't have that kid 3 months till you wish you'd bought one of those cute little dolls. Shoot. Miss Hiles gave me word that we're expecting. Well, she was. Expecting. I went back in the back of our little East Texas parsonage. I papered those walls with the prettiest paper you ever saw in your life. A little pussy willows all over the wall. And little kittens climbing up those pussy willows. And then I built me an altar. A little prayer place. And a little pulpit. And at the base of that altar and prayer place, I put a bassinet. And I was going to stand behind that pulpit and teach Becky the Word of God. I was going to expose the Scriptures to her. As an infant. There was a little pulpit, and there was a bassinet right there. I was going to stand behind that pulpit and teach Becky the Bible. I put it there the first night. Sounded like one of Harold Seidler's old meetings in his old church. She talked in tongues. She cried. I mean, she cried. Never baby cried like that baby cried. Second night she cried. I was going to teach her Revelation verse by verse. She had the colic. For a week. 2 weeks. 3 weeks. You know it's awful hard to cover your head so you can't hear a cry while Ms. Howes gets up and takes care of the baby. I didn't plan it that way. But if you're going to have a child, you're going to face the hardships. Becky had the colic. Well, she still has it. But somebody else is rocking her to sleep now. But 3 months. I'm saying 3 months. She had the colic. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. This country needs to get back to people that accept the blessings and also accept the responsibilities of life. So you want a pastor. And it's wonderful to be a pastor. But you get out there, about the first 3 years you'll have your church, you'll feel called to evangelism. I'm not against evangelism. I what am against. I'm against the guy going to evangelism because he can't take it as a pastor. If God calls you to be an evangelist like he has some of our men, then be one. But brother, if God hadn't called you to be one, you stay in the pastorate. When the battles come, you stick it out and you endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This sissy, soft, slimy, spoiled generation of lazy brats are not willing to endure hardness. You listen carefully to me. I don't care what you're in, what endeavor you have, you'll never be a success in any field until you enjoy the blessings, but you endure the hardness that is inevitable to success. You know who won World War II? A bunch of young men reared in the Depression. And that's why we won it. You know who lost the Vietnam War? A bunch of spoiled, rich brats who, while this man and others fought admirably on the battlefield in the Vietnam War, a war we never should have lost. I'll tell you who lost the Vietnam War. A bunch of rich brats like Bill Clinton. Back in World War II, when Hitler and his army marched on the Rhineland, Mussolini attacked, what was Czechoslovakia? Finland, I think it was. And on the Czechoslovakia went Hitler. And then the dropping of the bomb at Pearl Harbor. Our young men who had been trained to work and to be hungry, they got a piece of bread, they worked for that piece of bread. A bunch of young men that were trained in the Depression, hardship and toughness, they rose up and said, we'll defeat Hitler, and we'll put Mussolini back where he ought to be, and we'll put Japan down, and we'll defeat Japan. And these young men, reared in the hardship of Depression, in 17 weeks of training, went to Germany or Europe and brought to its knees the most powerful trained army in the history of mankind. And Adolf Hitler's regime bowed on its knees and succumbed to American young men who knew what it was to endure hardship. Paul said in the first place, he said, accept your share of hardship. The second place, he said, do not choose hardship. Just accept the will of God for your life and endure what hardship gets in the way. The third place, the apostle said, you share the blessings and share the load. Like a tug of war, everybody pull. Paul said, share the blessings and share the load. There are people in this room with the hundreds. I love you. I don't want you to get mad and leave. We need your offering. But have people here with the hundreds who enjoy the blessings of First Baptist Church who never carry a bit of the load. You enjoy the music. You enjoy the services. You enjoy the invitation time. And those of you that are right with God, stay through the entire invitation. You enjoy baptism. You enjoy the blessings. But you do not carry any of the load. That's not fair. It's not fair for the folks that walk this aisle. You do enjoy the walk in the aisle, but you don't bring anybody down the aisle. What some of you folks ought to do is you ought to call the office tomorrow morning and talk to my secretary. And you ought to say, Miss McKinney, I want a Sunday school class. I'm going to build a Sunday school class. Call Roy Moffitt if he ever comes back to church again. Call him. Call Ray Young and say, I want a bus route. I am not going to enjoy the blessings of this church without carrying some of the load. And the Apostle Paul said to young Timothy, enjoy the blessings, but share your part of the load. When the vendors barked their venue and menu on Corso Street in Ephesus, the stadium was packed with spectators. 50,000 people, more or less. Like a football stadium in America on a Saturday afternoon at a college game or Sunday afternoon at a pro game. But this stadium was not packed for a football game or a soccer game. This stadium was packed because some Christians were going to die. And as the vendors barked their menu and their merchandise for sale outside the gates of the stadium, the crowd began to pour in like it does for an athletic contest in America. And that crowd would be there in that big stadium on Corso Street in Ephesus. After a while, they'd begin to chant, "We want the lions. We 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 want the lions." And they'd bring those hungry lions, hadn't been fed for days, out in the middle at the 50-yard line, as it were, in the middle of the field. Then they'd come a chant, "We want the Christians. We want the Christians. We want the Christians. We want the Christians." And they'd bring a little huddle of God's people that wouldn't bow down to Baal. God's people that would live for this book and died for this book. They brought them out there in a huddle. And the people would chant, "Let go the lions. Let go the lions. Let go the lions." A great crowd of people like you'd have in a Super Bowl game chanting, "Let go the lions. Let go the lions." And then they'd open the gate of the cage, and the lions would attack the Christians. And the last breath, the Christians would say, "Jesus is Lord! Jesus is Lord!" as they went to heaven. When the Romans ruled the Colossian people, each family came or had to come to the ruler of his own province or city. And he had to quote these words to the ruler, the Roman ruler. "We recognize the power of Caesar to allow us to practice our faith. We're allowed to worship our God because Caesar says we can worship our God. Fooey, poppycock, tomfoolery. We're allowed to worship our God because our God commands us to worship our God." Some Christians chose to quote or repeat the words, "We recognize the power of Caesar to allow us to practice our faith." That's the same thing that they did when they said to Howells Anderson College, "You've got to be accredited." And I took the letter and threw it in the garbage can. They wrote again and said, "You've got to be accredited." Garbage can became fuller. The government hadn't got a right to tell us we have a right to have a Christian college. Went to court. We won the court case. If we'd lost the court case, we wouldn't have become accredited. Some refused. In the city of Colossae, parents watched their children murdered. Husbands stood and watched their wives murdered. And then the husbands were placed on a cross and nailed to a cross and allowed to hang there on the cross. Took sometimes 2 and 3 and 4 days for them to die. But as those little children died, the last breath they breathed was this: "Jesus is Lord! Jesus is Lord!" The last breath those ladies' wives breathed, they said, "Jesus is Lord! Jesus is Caesar's not Lord. Jesus is Lord. Southern Baptists are not Lord. Jesus is Lord. National Council of Churches aren't Lord. Jesus is Lord. The World Council's not the Lord. Jesus is the Lord." And they shouted Jesus' name. With those men, they took him and nailed him on the cross. The last words they would say, "Jesus is Lord." In the Roman Colosseum, was filled. This house, and I've been there twice, and others of you have been there and seen that the ruins, remains of that giant Colosseum, looks like an old Cotton Bowl, Rose Bowl, Orange Bowl stadium. Same thing would happen there that happened on Corso Street in Ephesus. Christian people huddled in the end zone. Bunch of hungry lions huddled on the other end. And then the people started chanting, "We want the lions. We want the lions. We want the lions. We want the lions." And then the lions would come out in cages and they'd start chanting, "Bring on the Christians. Bring on the Christians. Bring on the Christians." You folks that won't even come to church on Wednesday night, think about what they paid. You folks that stay home and watch some movie on television rather than come to God's house, That's not what your ancestors did, and you wouldn't be here tonight if they had the same kind of Christianity you have. You folks that have God's money in your pocket, burning your billfold, God's tithe in your pocket, you won't even give God 10%. Let me tell you something. You wouldn't be here tonight had it not been for people that said, Jesus is Lord, and gave their lives for the gospel of Christ. So Paul said to Timothy, preserve the truth. He said, I'm handing it to you. Timothy, you preserve it. Spread it. Fight for it. And that's one reason why this old man, the last years of his ministry, is fighting as near as he never has fought for the King James Bible. That's why this old man is fighting like he's never fought before for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's why I call John MacArthur's name that bloodless gospel preacher who says the blood of Jesus Christ may be at the foot of Calvary. No, sir. The blood of Jesus Christ is on the mercy seat in the presence of God Himself. That's why the old man, people all over the country say, you've got more vigor now than you ever had. I know it, brother. The Bible says the devil gets in the tribulation period. The devil's going to fight harder than holding you after this short time. Well, I got as much sense as the devil has. He's going to fight harder because his days are numbered. I'm going to fight harder because my days are numbered. And I'm handing down this book to you men up here on the platform. You men who are 35 and 40 and 45 years of age, 25 and 30 and 35 years younger than I am, God have mercy on your souls if you don't preserve what I've fought for through these years. Paul said to Timothy, I don't want you picking a fight. I just want you to defend and preserve what I've handed to you. If fight comes, endure it. If battles come, endure it. If beatings come, endure it. If imprisonment comes, endure it. And take your part, your share, your portion, your allotment of the suffering. I've not suffered like some have, but I've taken a few licks here and there. I have no scars on my back, but I've got some scars on my soul. But if needs be, I hope I'll stand when the scars have to come on my back. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? No, no. I must fight if I would gain. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by Thy word. Trouble's going to come. Heartbreak is going to come. Death is going to come to some. You're going to have your share of the burdens and heartaches and problems. They haven't come yet. They're on the way. I'm a grizzled old veteran. I, like some of you young men, had not faced the firing squad when I was your age. But I want you to know it's going to come. You know what we say, and I'll close with this. We say about our children, listen carefully, I just don't want my kids to have to go through what I went through. That is the dumbest thing you will ever say in your life. I hope you guys have got to stand someday for the truth. I hope you guys have to fight for what's right someday. I hope you have to be sorry. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Paul didn't say to Timothy, Timothy, I'm in jail. I hope you never have to go to jail. I don't want you to go through what I've been through. We've got a bunch of punkos in America that are not going through what Mom and Dad went through. They're waiting for Dad and Mom to die so they can inherit enough money so they can squander it. Shoot. Who are we talking to some other day? I forget who it was. We're talking somebody. Oh, it was, forget who it was. You remember who it was? Well, you're dumb as I am. And I made this statement. I said, Miss Howes and I are busy spending all our money. We plan to go broke the day before we die. So our kids won't get a dime. Did you hear that? A generation that doesn't have it tough doesn't win. The team that ends up as the champions in the Super Bowl is a team that trained the hardest, endured the most sacrifice. Paul said to Timothy, I want you to endure hardness. Enjoy the blessings. I want you to feel the breath of God and the power of God on your life and ministry. But he said, I also want you to realize that the cup is half empty as well as it's half full. And life is half hard as well as it's half easy. And life is half difficult as much as it's half simple. And life is as half defeat as much as it's half victory. And life is half tears and half joy. Now he said, enjoy the victory and the joy and the blessings, but endure the tears and the heartaches and the problems. He said, Timothy, somebody gave this to me, and I've kept it, preserved it. And I'm going to give it to you. And you take it. And then, you, Timothy, when you take it, you turn around and you give it to somebody else after you. And you tell them, and they take it to preserve it and give it to somebody after them. If that happens, these little children on the front row will still have an old-fashioned First Baptist Church of Hammond someday. He simply said, endure hardness. Take your share of it. Share hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father. It's been wonderful. These 70, almost 71 years. Victories, victories, victories. Battles, battles, battles. Joy, joy, joy. And tears, tears, tears. And the same is true for all of us. If we reap in joy, we'll have to sow in tears. To come forth again, bringing our sheaves with us, we'll have to go forth weeping, bearing precious seed. Help us to stay with the Apostle Paul and to do what he said to do. Share our part of the hardness and the battles and the tough times and the difficulties, because they're necessary for the victories. No struggle, no victory. Help us to stand, endure the hardness as we enjoy the blessings. Amen. Shall we stand? The choir will sing.